Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to episode 3 and the conclusion of our Better Together message series. You know, it's been great stepping into the fall together and seeing so many faces that we haven't seen for such a long time. It's wonderful as we begin to regather the church in person again. Calvary Church Online continues for those of you that aren't able to make it on site or not, maybe aren't quite ready to come back with some health concerns. We certainly understand, but we are gathering again as a church safely and doing all that we can to strengthen those relationships. So for all of you, whether you're in the house today or watching on our online campus, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, our church culture is one of collaboration, one of teams, as we work together to advance the mission that God has given us. It's all about good company walking together. And those who serve so faithfully on Team Calvary bring strength to what we do week in and week out. And so tonight, we want to bring strength to you, to all of those that volunteer. And so our team night, our annual team night, has returned. And so we are ready to go at 6 p.m. tonight here in the main auditorium for all of those who serve or volunteer in any capacity around the church. This night is for you. It's a night of inspiration, a celebration as we encourage those who are so faithful, have some tasty treats and some fun as we hang out together. So I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight. Now, you know, when it comes to the value of church community and our strength together as believers, I think one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he was reflecting on his last visit that he had there. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." See, I love this verse because it summarizes the two complementary and sometimes competing parts of our shared purpose. You see, there's a mission to accomplish. We all understand that. Paul identifies that we were there to share with you God's good news. But then he talked about his love, the love that he had for those that he was meeting with. And he says, there's also a life to be shared. And so Paul highlights how they took the time to share not only the good news, but to share their lives, to talk about what's going on in their families and in their day-to-day. See, that's the love that they had as they shared life and shared mission together. Now, no one can effectively do life or do ministry alone. We know that. That's not the way that we've been created or wired, and we know that healthy teams will usually lead to a healthy church. And serving on a team or being connected to a smaller group, these moments in our lives help to shape us. It helps to develop us spiritually. And our lives and our families are enhanced as we care for other people and enhanced by the company that we keep. A gentleman named Vala Afshar, he's a digital marketing kind of guru evangelist. He once said this about teams. He said, "We're not a team because we work together. We're a team because we respect, trust, and care for one another." You see, sharing our lives on mission shouldn't be two separate parts of our lives where we look at them as things that war against one another, our mission and our lives. They should really be a part of, you know, two sides of the same coin that complement and strengthen one another. You know, 16 plus years ago, we arrived here in Surrey with our young family to join the pastoral team here at Calvary. I came on the team as the new family pastor, and we arrived in late summer, and I literally hit the ground running. As soon as we arrived, I began to plan and implement our Family Fest community fair. And so in the midst of doing that, while being on mission, while being focused on what I had been called to do, we were meeting people and families for the very first time. We were building relationships. And there, in the middle of it all, just like that, we were serving like our community, loving our community with over 100 people working together. And as we prepared, as we served together, we were also getting to know one another deeper as we shared our lives together. Some of the people that I met that day would go on to open up their homes to us. You see, we had left all of our family on the East Coast. And so starting in a brand new place helps when you have people open their hearts to you. And that's what people did. They literally invited us into their homes around their family tables at Easter and Christmas. And suddenly, these new people, these new friends, were becoming like family. And it gave great strength to us as we shared the mission that God had called us to, but we were also there sharing our lives together. Now, we would go on to do many more family fests, family camps, theater productions, marriage courses, but all through that time, we were interacting with one another and getting to know one another better. Now, we would go on to see some of our new friends move away out of the area for different opportunities in their careers. We would also see others just move on. But I would say that for the most part, many of those people that we began to share our lives with, we still know and love and are still in our church today. You see, like the Apostle Paul, we soon recognize the value of good company as we shared not only what God had called us to do, as we shared a common purpose, but we also shared our hearts, our love, our life together. And that strengthened us. Just like Pastor Vince was talking about last week, it's during all those in-between moments where rich relationships and lifelong connections are shaped. You see, sandwiched between all the greatest events and moments of Scripture, sandwiched in between all of the great things that Jesus did, or even the greatest events that we've ever experienced in the history of our church, in the midst of all those things is the sharing of lives together, the countless stories, the laughs, the tears, the many conversations that went long into the night. All of it has helped to shape who we are today and who God is calling us to be tomorrow. We're better together because of that good company. You know, an influential Nigerian pastor once said, "You are who you are by virtue of the company that you keep." The company that you keep matters. It matters. You know, a few weeks ago, my wife Susan heard something in the living room. Sounded like something was bouncing off the window, like a stone or a stick. And so she made her way in to see what was going on, and she looked out the window. And when she looked in the backyard, she saw two little boys from the neighborhood. Now, she recognized the younger of the two. He was one of our neighbor's son, and so the older of the two had a rock in his hand, so he must have been throwing rocks at the house. And so he was trying to convince the younger to take the stone, and he was giving him the rock and pointing at our house. And so Susan went over and lifted up the blinds and kind of shook her head at them, and then the two of them were just immobilized with guilt, dropped the rocks, and they took off running. But when she told me this story when I got home from the office, it took me back, just like a time machine, back to a time when I wasn't much older than that, at a time when I was in a similar situation. You see, I remember being in my yard with a friend of mine named Johnny. Now, Johnny was a first-class troublemaker, and he would often show his skills on many different levels. And here we were in the yard this day, looking at the fence that divided our yard with the neighbors. And he was taking rocks, and he was throwing them as hard as he could to see how far he could get them over the fence. Now, I'd like to say that I was trying to prevent this from happening and discouraging him from doing it, but I was probably egging him on, daring him to see how far he could get those rocks. And so after a few attempts and a bigger rock, he just let one go, and it went towards their house, the neighbor's house. And then smash, just like that, this big rock went right through the kitchen window of our neighbor's house. I'll tell you what, it freaked both of us out to hear the sound of that broken glass. And as quick as that glass broke, wow, he was gone. Johnny went like the Flash, and he was out of there. And I think my mother heard something that from the noise, and so she came out and she said, "What's going on?" And immediately, just like you would, the first thing that I said is, "I didn't do it! I didn't do it!" You see, I was about to learn about the value of the company that we keep. And in that moment, I was guilty by association. It was because I was there. She said, "I don't care if you did it or not. You were there, you were a part of it, and your father is going to be home soon. And when he gets home, listen, you're going right over there to apologize for what took place." Again, I'm pleading my case. I didn't do it. Doesn't matter. You were a part of it. You're going to go over there. Now, it didn't help in this moment with the dread that I felt of my dad arriving home, that my dad was also a police officer. So I knew that whatever conversation that we had, he would likely still be in uniform, and I would feel like I was being arrested. And so, sure enough, he got home. He told me of the seriousness of what had taken place. He marched me over, knocked on the door. We met with the neighbor. I had to apologize. Even though I wasn't the one who threw the rock, I was a part of it. And so we worked out all the details to figure what was going to happen next, to resolve the situation. But I tell you what, lesson learned. I have never forgot that moment. You see, in Scripture, Paul understood the dynamic of the company that we keep. And in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing about these false teachers who have made their way into the church. And they're trying to convince other people that the resurrection of Christ didn't take place. They were trying to cancel what Jesus had done. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things. Listen to this, for bad company corrupts good character." So at a very early age, I learned this truth the hard way. And honestly, there would be many more Johnnies to come with different names and many more metaphorical rocks that I would learn to walk away from because of that broken glass moment, understanding the power of the company that I kept. See, those things, it's incredible how even in her telling me that story, it took me right back to that moment. The company you keep matters. But listen, if bad company can corrupt good character, then good company can strengthen it. Now, there's a great story in Luke in chapter 5 about a paralyzed man who was healed by Jesus. And these are words that we remember as we read Scripture, Jesus saying. Jesus spoke these powerful words and said, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And when he said those words, the man, the Bible says, was instantly healed. Now, Luke 5, 18 to 19 shares with us what took place just before those words. Because I think it's important not to rush past the context of the situation. We need to understand how he came to that moment. Verses 18 and 19 say, "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and they took off some tiles." They actually tore a hole in the roof of the place that Jesus was. And then the Bible says that they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd. It'd be like somebody busting a hole in the roof of the church right now and lowering somebody down on a rope right in front of me speaking. That was what was happening to Jesus. And the Bible says that they lowered him right in front of Jesus. Right in front of Jesus. See, these were all-star friends. These men were willing to do whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Have you ever had friends like that? Friends that when you spent time with them, it literally took you in front of Jesus. It encouraged you to move further in your walk with Christ. The kind of friends that come alongside you during the roughest times of your life. When you're exhausted, when you don't feel like God is even listening. Times when you feel like I have no energy to read the Bible or pray. And it's in those times that the good company of people that God has put in your life come alongside you, even take you by the arm and pull you along with them to take you to meet Jesus. You see, these are the kinds of friends that know they can't fix you, but they also know the one who can. And they're going to do everything they can to encourage you along your way to get back up and to get back into that race that he's called you to. Good company brings you right in front of Jesus. See, these kinds of relationships they're rooted, they're intentional, they're profound, and they're vital to the community that God has called us to. They don't magically happen. They don't accidentally happen. They're very intentional. They're only produced with a determination that will move through any kind of relational obstacle. That's the kind of togetherness that God is calling us to. Good company, man, they will break through a roof to get you to Jesus. They want to see you advance and be strengthened in what God has called you to do. You know, when I first started going to a church like this in my teens, I didn't know anybody, and I met a guy named Dan, and Dan was someone who wasn't much older than I was. We kind of hit it off with some shared interests. Not all of them are great interests, but he was as flawed as I was. It was apparent to me. So if you're watching, Dan, you remember those days. But you know what? We became friends. As a matter of fact, he went on to become one of my very best friends, even to this day. But you know what? He was a little further ahead in his spiritual journey than I was. And it was at a time in his life when he was pressing in. He had such a hunger for the Word of God. He had such a hunger for prayer. And I remember the church had an early morning prayer, and it was in the wintertime, and it was brutal. I'm not much of a morning person, especially when it's cold and dark in the middle of the winter. And he said, you know what, I'll come by, and I'll pick you up, and we'll go to the church for prayer. So he'd come by in the morning, and I could hear his car out there, and I'm in bed. He wants to pick me up to take me to prayer, and you know the only prayer I'm praying? God, just pray that he would just forget about me and go on. But he would sit out there in his little Chevette, and he would wait for me until I came out kind of disheveled like the walking dead, jumped in his car, and he dragged me off to prayer. But you know what? That's the good company that I'm talking about. That's the kind of people in church community that help us develop a deeper relationship with God, the kind of relationships that help us to finish well. Now, you know what? What's even more exciting than experiencing and enjoying this kind of community is that we can also be a part of providing that kind of community. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus as we reach out to the world around us. You and I get to be that good company to others. And how amazing would it be if we were so incredibly committed to a like-minded company of Christ followers that we would go to any lengths to get one another to Jesus, to get people right in front of Christ. You know what? Life can be brutal. It can be lonely without the kind of people that we can lean on to help carry our burdens or that we can help to carry theirs. So you know what? As a step in this kind of post-pandemic era that we're living in as we move forward, let's take intentional steps of faith, intentional steps to not be afraid to connect. Community is so worth it. And I need you. I need you, and you need me. We need one another. We've been designed that way. Good company brings you right in front of Jesus. Now, as we close this series, I want to come back to a scripture that we actually started with in episode 1. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." So circle that word, motivate. Highlight it. Do whatever you have to do. We're going to come back to it. Then it goes on to say in verse 25, "And let us not neglect our meeting together." Circle the word together. "As some people do, but encourage one another. Highlight the word encourage, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So the first thing that we see in this scripture is that good company motivates. You see, motivation is fueled and strengthened through other people, through good company. And it's sometimes difficult to define, but we know motivation is very easy to lose. Teamwork and motivation, they go hand in hand. And lasting motivation always involves other people. And this is such a simple but profound truth that we see time and time again in Scripture. As a matter of fact, in a different translation, Hebrews 10:24 says it like this, and let us, again referring to other people, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Good company provokes one another in love, calling you up the ladder instead of pulling you back down, helping to move you forward instead of holding you back. You know, we create moments within the church here to develop that kind of community. And it's important. And so as we do, it you know, I think good company always takes other people along with them. Like my friend Dan taking me along with him to prayer. Good company always takes others along to help them grow. Second thing we see there is that good company togethers. They together. You see, we're big on togethering here at Calvary. We create moments like Calvary small groups and classes and dinner for eight. All these things are designed to create that community together, to share life with one another. God has designed us to live and to thrive in that kind of togetherness, serving together, learning together, eating together, doing life. And it always involves other people. This enhances our walk with God. It strengthens our commitment to him. And it keeps our focus on the thing that he gave his son to die for. We're to love God. We're to also love people. In the book of Acts, Luke talks about togetherness, the togetherness of the church. Acts 2:42 says, every believer was faithfully devoted. They were committed to togetherness. Faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked, the Bible says, to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. You know, after spending some time in Jesus' part of the world, I came to realize what Luke was really talking about here. You see, Middle Eastern culture values togetherness in a way that I think for many of us is kind of foreign. You see, to go into someone's private home and to share a meal together is not a drive-through experience. It's not something that you do quickly. It's often a meal will take hours. We went in, ministry team, to visit with our pastor who we helped to support in Bethlehem. And he invited us into his home, and we shared a meal together, and we were there for hours, praying for their children, praying for the church, laughing together, talking together. It was an experience that wasn't something that you were tolerating or putting up with. You were just eating it up, literally, as we were there. And so as we ate together, you know what? It had less to do with what was on our plate and more to do with what was in our hearts. It was a way of showing in this culture your acceptance of someone. It was a way of signaling to them that you wanted a deeper relationship in the friendship that you had. See, it had more to do with sharing your life than even sharing food. And then finally, good company encourages. Good company always encourages. We touched on this when we started the series. You see, God commanded that his people encourage one another because he knew we were going to need it in the years to come. As a matter of fact, encouragement was a regular part of the good company of the early church. They shared words with one another that were soaked in scriptural truth to spur one another on in hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, that we might have hope." You know, from time to time I receive a thank you note by email or text. Somebody will say, great message, Pastor. Loved what you said today. That really ministered to me. Man, that's just what I needed to hear. And you know what? These notes are not always long. Most of the time they're very to the point and short. But the Lord always uses them to stir within me a much-needed strength to my soul. You know, when it comes to kindness, it's not so expensive that you can't spare giving it to other people. Don't just think about it. If you see something that somebody has done that has blessed you, if they've done something in your life to serve you in any way that's a blessing, don't just think, oh, that's a wonderful thing. Tell them. Act upon what's in your heart. Show that kindness. Listen, we're living in a day today where there is so much tension over so many non-eternal things that we need to, like never before, express that kindness as we learn to encourage one another. You and I can be the good company that someone else needs at this time in their lives just by sharing an encouraging word. Encouragement is like the oxygen of the church. It keeps hearts beating. It keeps minds clear. It keeps hands inspired to continue to serve. That's what Team Night is all about tonight, as we celebrate those who faithfully give and serve. We want to be an encouragement to them as they are an encouragement to all of us. You know, I'm thankful today for our church family. I'm thankful for the good company God has placed in my life. And I'm even more honored to be that good company to others that need it. We are so much better together. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today for the word of God that shows and models for us what good company means in our lives. I pray that we would see the value of those relationships as we stand together, that we would not only benefit and grow because of that good company, but that we would be committed to be that good company to others. And if there's those of you listening to this message right now that need to be a part of this family that we're talking about, the family of God, it's as simple as acknowledging the love that Christ has for you. And maybe in your heart, you're like, I need to know Jesus the way that you're talking about, but I'm not sure that I do. If that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord, I thank you for your love. I acknowledge that I'm sinful and that I'm in need of a Savior. I thank you for your forgiveness in my life, that you gave your life for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to be good company to a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If that's you today, if you prayed that prayer, I pray that you would let somebody know in the chat. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to get you the resources to help you grow in community and be blessed. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week.